The Gospel Plan of Salvation by T.W. Brents. Chapter 12. Baptism. The subject of baptism has engaged the attention of many of the wisest heads and employed the tongues and pens of many of the ablest speakers and writers that have blessed the world by their labor since the days of the apostles. In the examination of a subject upon which there has been so much spoken and written, it will not be expected that we shall be able to present a single thought that has not been presented in some shape by someone who has preceded us. If there is a subject connected with man's salvation that has been exhausted, surely this one has. We have read everything that has come in our way on the subject, and have profited especially by the writings of Campbell, Carson, Conant, Booth, Gale, Hinton, Bailey, and Stewart, whose works we have by us at this writing. But we will write just as though nothing had ever been written on the subject before, presenting everything we may deem important to a thorough examination of the subject in our own way, without regard to the source from which we learned it, whether from the Bible or the writings of men tried by the Bible. If we speak not as the oracles of God speak, then prove all things and hold fast that which is good. First, then, we inquire, what is baptism? When Jesus commanded his disciples to teach all nations, baptizing them, did he mean anything? If so, what? It is scarcely necessary to say to the reader that the words Baptist, baptism, baptize, baptized, and baptizing are all Greek words anglicized in termination to satisfy the demands of English euphony and transferred, not translated, to our version of the sacred scriptures. Hence, if we would comprehend the subject, we must learn correctly the meaning of these words, not as defined by authors whose works are made to reflect the faith of the party to which they belong, but we must get at their import at the time the Savior and the inspired speakers and writers employed them. The word baptisma, rendered baptism, occurs in the New Testament 22 times. The word baptismos occurs 4 times, 3 times rendered washing and once baptism. Baptistes occurs 14 times connected with John and is rendered Baptist. Baptizo occurs 80 times, 78 times rendered baptize, baptized, etc., and 1 time each wash and washing. This family of words is derived from bapto, and each derivative partakes of the primary import of this word. It occurs 5 times in the New Testament, and imbapto once. Matthew 26:23, Mark 14:20, Luke 16:24, John 18:26 twice, and Revelation 19:13. This word is never used to indicate baptism, and hence is not transferred, but translated every time. Hence you will find it dip, dippeth, dipped. Language has no law that is better established than that derivative words inherit the radical form and primary meaning of the words from which they are derived. This being so, and the primary meaning of bapto being dip, does it not follow that its derivative, baptizo, must be rendered dip, immerse, or by some word equivalent thereto? If baptism may be performed by sprinkling or pouring, is it not strange that we never have baptizo, the word used to indicate it, rendered sprinkle or pour? These words often occur in the sacred scriptures, but never from the word baptizo. Sprinkle is always from its own representative, rhino, and pour from cheo. While the primary meaning of bapto, and per consequence of its derivative baptizo, is to dip, immerse, overwhelm, the meaning of sprinkle is to scatter in drops, and pour to turn out in a stream. As well, we might expect purely English parentage to produce a progeny of baboons and monkeys, as for baptizo or any other word derived from bapto to mean sprinkle or pour. Worcester, in his unabridged dictionary, first defines the Greek word baptismos, a dipping, and then proceeds to define the same word, less 2 letters, as an English word thus, act of baptizing, a Christian rite or sacrament, symbolical of initiation into the church and consecration to a pure life, performed by immersion, ablution, or sprinkling, and accompanied with a form of words. Now, how are we to reconcile his definition of baptismos, a dipping, with his definition of baptism, performed by immersion, ablution, or sprinkling? The former is the primitive meaning of the Greek word when Jesus used it to indicate his will. The latter is the modern abuse of the term, defined in accommodation to present usage. The Greek baptizo he defines to dip or merge, and then defines baptize to administer baptism to immerse in water or to sprinkle with water in token of initiation into the Christian church, to christen. Here again we see that the word employed by the Lord means to dip or merge, while its modernized equivalent means to immerse or sprinkle. Webster, in his unabridged dictionary, defines baptisma, baptismos, from baptizein, to baptize, from baptein, to dip in water. Then he defines baptism as from these, quote, the act of baptizing, the application of water to a person as a sacrament or religious ceremony by which he is initiated into the visible church of Christ. This is usually performed by sprinkling or immersion, unquote. When defining the Greek, it means to dip, but in these days it is usually performed by sprinkling or immersion. Can dipping be done by sprinkling? We introduce these authors not for the purpose of objecting to them, for they were bound to define words as used when they wrote, but we introduce them first to show the marked difference between the Greek words employed by inspiration and the modern abuse of them. And secondly, that we may have the benefit of their authority in showing that the Greek from which we have the words in controversy means to dip or immerse. Had there been any such meanings as sprinkle and pour in the Greek, surely they would have found them, and the definitions they give to the anglicized equivalents show that had they found them, they would have given them. Ours is a living, growing, and therefore a changing language, and the import of adopted words is as liable to be changed by usage as native English words. Surely it would have astonished the Greek writers of 1800 years ago to have found a definition to baptisma like those to baptism by Webster and Worcester, saying it may be performed by immersion, ablution, or sprinkling. But let us examine the words of those whose peculiar business it is to define Greek words. 1. Pickering defines baptizo to dip, immerse, submerge, plunge, sink, overwhelm, to steep, to soak, to wet, to wash oneself, or bathe. 2. Groves, baptizo, from bapto, to dip, immerse, emerge, plunge, to wash, cleanse, purify. Mr. Groves and many others show that baptizo comes from bapto, to dip. Hence, however numerous the meanings of bapto, baptizo inherits only the primary meaning, dip, in accordance with the law already laid down. 3. Robinson. Baptizo, to immerse, to sink. For example, spoken of ships, galleys, etc. In the New Testament, to wash, to cleanse by washing, to wash oneself, to bathe, perform ablution, etc. Mr. Robinson was a Presbyterian and gives the primary meaning of the word baptizo to immerse, and then gives the meanings wash, cleanse, etc. from the New Testament, from such passages as do not speak of baptism, and where the word is translated as Mark 7, verse 4, Luke 11, verse 38. 4. Little and Scott. Baptizo, to dip in or under water, of ships, to sink or disable them. Passive, to be drenched. 2. Metaphorical, soaked in wine, over head and ears in debt, being drowned with questions, or getting into deep water, to draw wine by dipping the cup in the bowl. 3. To baptize, the middle voice, to dip oneself, to get oneself baptized. Latest edition. Baptismos, a dipping in water, ablution. Baptistes, one that dips, a baptizer, the Baptist, New Testament. In the first American edition of Little and Scott's lexicon, to pour upon was in the definition of baptizo, but this was expunged from subsequent editions. In a discussion at Flat Creek, our opponent read these definitions from his edition of Little and Scott, remarking that this work had been tampered with by immersionists until it is difficult to tell when we have the real definitions of the authors. that it is likely an addition will be presented not having pour upon in its definition of baptizo. When asked who was the editor of his edition, he said, Drisler. Drisler is the editor of our edition, and as far as we are informed, is the only American editor who has ever published Little and Scott. So it is certain that the same author had control of the work when pour upon was in the definition and when it came out. And could such a definition have been verified by examples, it would doubtless have been retained. As it could not be sustained and had to come out, it is quite clear that sectarianism put it there and would have kept it there if any such meaning belonged to the word.